You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, as you can tell from the graphic here, call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on Monday, the 13th of September, 2021. And we are going to be reviewing the games of baseball over the weekend. While you were watching football, your pal Sully was watching baseball. And I'm going to tell you about all the action, the confusion, the wild card races, who's in it, who's not in it, and how it got to be really confusing, because that's what September baseball is all about. This show is available on the free and easy to use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. And if you have a smart device, be sure to tell it to play Podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. And you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let's get to the weekend's games. The season is winding down. There's going to be fewer than 20 games for some of the teams, right around 20 games for other teams. And all you would want if you're a baseball fan, besides having your team win, is to have a sense of the final 3 weeks being thrilling and up in the air. And let me tell you something, cousin. Tonight, in terms of baseball potential anarchy, this was a night of baseball that belongs in the Louvre. It was such a work of art. Everything that you could possibly want to show how, I even like to use the word random, because that implies things out of control, but unpredictable, that you could ever want in terms of the wild card race, happened tonight. Now, let's just go through this crazy night, because it's setting up what could be a phenomenal logjam in the American League. I've been saying all year long that I predicted there was going to be a gigantic scrum and a few games were going to be the difference between making the playoffs or not for a whole bunch of teams. Now, Tampa Bay, despite losing to the Detroit Tigers on Friday night, have a stranglehold on the best record in the American League. The Houston Astros look like they're going to win the division, and the White Sox look like they're cinched to win their division, which brings us to the wild card. Now, a lot of things had to happen on Friday night to turn the wild card into a true logjam going into this weekend. And they almost all virtually happened. Now, first things first, I want to give credit to someone, Brandon Hyde, the manager of the Baltimore Orioles, because the Orioles are probably the worst team in baseball. Maybe the Diamondbacks are the worst. I don't know. But the Orioles are certainly in the conversation for worst team in baseball. And here's what I like about the Orioles and how they've been playing this September. They're showing up. I'm sure a lot of teams are circling the Orioles on their calendar when they're either going to Camden Yards or the Orioles are showing up to their ballpark, thinking, all right, here we go. Here we go. Time to pile up some wins. And the Orioles are saying, not so fast. Beat us. You don't get automatic wins here. And the Orioles showed a lot of guts going to Yankee Stadium and winning that series last weekend and winning the first game against an absolutely white-hot Blue Jays team with their best pitcher on the mound. Coming off of the four-game sweep of the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, Robbie Ray on the mound, going to play Baltimore. If there was any game that looked like it was going to be an absolute easy win for the Toronto Blue Jays, it was that game. And guess what? Robbie Ray couldn't get out of the fifth inning. And the Orioles got a leadoff home run, from Cedric Mullins. Anthony Santander hit a home run. Ryan McKenna hit a home run. And give the Orioles credit. They showed up. They showed up, and they were not tomato cans. And they forced the Blue Jays to play their best. And ultimately, the Blue Jays tied the game. And when they tied the game, they thought, oh, here we go. Here we go. Blue Jays just gave them a head start. No. Orioles doubled them up. The Blue Jays had a chance to take the second wild card spot for themselves, and they blew it, losing a game started by Robbie Ray against one of the worst teams in baseball. Give credit where it's due. The Orioles stink this year. Boy, I hope I don't get a hate comment on YouTube for that statement. But they showed up, said, we're still a major league team, and you've got to beat us. And so good for them. Now, the Red Sox lost to the White Sox because Jose Abreu was awesome. And the Red Sox just couldn't get that big, huge rally. And as it turns out, they lost by one run to a very good Chicago team. Chris Sale was supposed to be coming back to Chicago, the place where he was drafted and played the first bunch of his years and became an all-star and a star with the White Sox before being traded for Yoan Moncada and helped the Red Sox win the World Series. But Chris Sale tested positive for COVID. Hey, here's an idea. Get the vaccination. Wear a mask. This isn't a political statement. Those are just statements that they help. They help, you know, they may not be perfect, but they sure help avoid things like, I don't know, testing positive for COVID down the stretch of a pennant race. Not that that's the most critical thing that happened in the world of COVID, but you know what? The Red Sox have gone through enough of that. They get back Xander Bogaerts, great, but now they're going to lose Chris freaking Sale at a time where they can't afford to lose him. And they wound up losing to the White Sox. Now, no shame in that. The White Sox are a darn good team, but the Red Sox need to pick up some wins. As it turns out, they're still the top team in the wild card race because the Yankees' losing streak has just become, you know, borderline epidemic for a team that not long ago was in the middle of a 13-game winning streak, and now they're in the middle of a 7-game losing streak, losing those last two games to Baltimore, being swept at home by the Toronto Blue Jays, and losing this game to the Mets on Friday. And it wasn't just that they lost it, but it was the way that they lost it, which should be really discouraging for Yankee fans. They look stupid. Susan Waldman compared them to the Bad News Bears. That's not a good thing. That they got a terrible performance from Montgomery, their starting pitcher, and they needed length from him because Kluber's pitching on Saturday. He's not going to give you more than five innings. And then with Cole hurt, Garrett Cole is hurt, and he's not going to be able to pitch the Sunday game. So that's probably going to be either a bullpen game or someone who's not exactly going to be a Cy Young contender throwing on Sunday. And so the bullpen for the Yankees is gassed. And you're going to turn to them and say, hey, you got to give us two more full games on Saturday and Sunday. They may have to pitch three or four innings on Saturday if everything goes right. And Lord knows what's going to happen on Sunday. Now, King came in and basically took the bullet for the Yankees, throwing three innings in the game against the Mets. But they were humiliated by the Mets. They made errors in the field. The pitching was slow and wild. There were tons of walks. Gary Sanchez missed a tag at home plate and then didn't come off a home plate with a throw home that allowed a throw to go wild. You know, they allowed drag bunts. They allowed home runs. There was super sloppy play in the infield. The Yankees looked dead from the neck up. And look at, I thought Aaron Boone saved his job with a 13-game winning streak, but there's a real possibility that the Yankees will not make the postseason. They're only a half game ahead of Toronto at this point for the second wildcard spot. How can Aaron Boone keep his job? And how can Cashman keep his job if this team doesn't make the postseason? That's not hyperbole. This is a team that's designed to go to the World Series, and apparently they were poorly designed. And the thing that made this a night of beauty is that the Oakland A's, led by Olsen and by Marte, won their game, doubling up the Texas Rangers 10-5. And the Seattle Mariners face Madison Bumgarner and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they got Tom Murphy to hit two home runs. And now the Seattle Mariners are only one game out of a wild card spot. And the Oakland A's are only one game out of a wild card spot. The A's and the Mariners did what they had to do. That was beat a team that was better, that they're better than, essentially. And so now we're going into a situation on Saturday where, let's say the following happens. The White Sox beat the Red Sox. Definitely a possibility. The White Sox are a better team than the Red Sox. And certainly playing better baseball. Let's just say Corey Kluber doesn't go very deep in the game against the Mets, and the Mets are able to score off of the Yankees bullpen. Again, not an outlandish thought. Let's say those two things happen. Let's say that the A's defeat the Rangers, and then the Mariners defeat the Diamondbacks. And then you have the Orioles and the Blue Jays are playing a doubleheader. There's a real possibility that you could have one game in the loss column separate five teams tomorrow. Because guess what? We kind of have that right now. As it stands right now, the Red Sox have 63 losses. The Yankees have 63 losses. The Blue Jays have 63 losses. The A's have 64 losses. The Mariners have 64 losses. This is all you can ask for if you're a baseball fan. Potential anarchy. The idea of going down the stretch and having no clue which team is actually going to be the last team standing. And right now, every bad thing that happened with the slump that the Blue Jays went in after the All-Star break, the key losses to Houston that the Seattle Mariners suffered, and of course, that rancid stretch where the A's just could not win a game, and they wound up losing that game on the walk-off home run by Marcus Semien. All that would be forgotten with a good final 20-some-odd games. And all the positive stuff would be forgotten for the Red Sox, defeating the Yankees in those come-from-behind games, all the goodwill of pushing the dudes up and down the dugout in the shopping cart, that will all be forgotten, as would the 13-game winning streak by the Yankees. No one will remember that. Only diehard Yankee fans who also have fine memories of Bob Brower. Chances are you don't know who Bob Brower is. Well, the Yankee fans who do will be the ones who remember a 13-game winning streak. Everyone else will go whoosh right out of their head. So we're going to go into Saturday with anarchy, anarchy, anarchy right there on the table, to the point where five teams are fighting for two spots. None of those teams are going to make the division in terms of winning the division championship. They're all fighting for the chance to fight each other in a one-game playoff. And what I want to see in many ways is that sort of craziness where you have to play a play-in game for a play-in game. And maybe you have two play-in games. I would love to have a four-way tie. I'd love to have a five-way tie and do a round robin. We don't know how to pull that off. But that's what I want to see. And with a 20-some-odd game sample size, that's not that outlandish. Now, the National League wild card chase. Why did I say Cy Young chase? The National League wild card chase is not quite as chaotic as the American League, but it is at an absolute standstill tie right now. Thanks to the fact that Jose Barrero in his seventh game this year got a key double. Joey Votto homer, the Reds won. And Urias of the Dodgers shut out the Padres. And so the Reds and the Padres are an absolute standstill. Meanwhile, the Braves won their game, and the Giants won their game, and I believe Milwaukee won their game. Yeah, they won their. So all those divisions are locked up. A couple of weeks ago, it looked like there may be a bit of movement going on in terms of the Phillies or the Mets making a real charge at the National League East. That's not going to happen the way the Braves are playing right now, where they are now 4.5 games, 5 in the loss column ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies. And guess what? It's been a big deal, the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies have had a losing record every single year, or losing or a 500 error. They've not been above 500 is what I'm saying, since Ryan Howard fell in a heap at the end of the 2011 National League Division Series against the eventual World Series champion St. Louis Cardinals. They have not finished above 500 since that year, despite having big payrolls and big stars. And just, what, a week or so ago, this looked like a team that looked like they were in first place in the National League East. And now, you know, they're only one game above 500. And they have like 21 games left to play. There's a real chance that this could be yet another season in Philadelphia where they don't even finish above 500. But what I'm saying is Saturday is going to be great. You got a bunch of great matchups and potential anarchy. You have a tight race in the National League wild card, and you have an absolute free-for-all in the American League. I want to see it continue. I want to see the potential anarchy go right through to the end of the year. I want it to be so confusing they have to play round robins or whatever. But first things first, the teams that are a game back have to win. The teams that are a game ahead have to lose. So, looking forward to the games on Saturday, and let's check out what happens. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. You know, with all the makes and models that are out there, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse chooses to carry? You have computers and access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts for a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to help find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that helps you catch the game live. Another lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. And you've got your neighbor's best friend login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you, there's a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, we're back, and the games on Saturday just ended. Now, I have to say a couple of things. While the wild card race continues to be weird and a bit of a toss salad, the leaders, the teams that look like they're going to win the division, must be looking at these wild card chases and going, that's interesting. Have fun. Get exhausted. The Milwaukee Brewers, who I still kind of think are going to win the World Series, threw a no-hitter against the Cleveland Indians. Now, Burns went the first, the first eight innings, and then Hader threw the final inning. So it was a combined no-hitter. And I happen to like combined no-hitters. I think they're kind of weird and funky. I like them better when it's like a mess of pitchers. You could say that the Brewers could have sent Burns out for the final inning, but he had already thrown 115 pitches. Hader threw the final pitch, and hey, everyone seemed happy there in Milwaukee. They got a no-hitter. The LA Dodgers wound up beating the San Diego Padres. We'll get to that in a second. And the Dodgers are continuing to march to the postseason. The Giants continue to be the best team in baseball. They had 92 wins, which every single Giant fan would have asked a genie for at the beginning of the year, 92 wins. And here we got 92 wins with about 20 games to go. And the Rays clobbered the Tigers. And the Astros wound up losing. But most of the surefire teams took a look at the wild card chase and said, have fun clobbering yourself for the last 3 weeks. We're going to rest up. Now, let's just go over a couple of the wild card games that had some sort of implication. First of all, Oakland. Let me just say this very clear. You cannot lose a game like that. You can't drop a game where you have a you drop a four-run lead in the eighth inning. You can't do that. You can't have a game that you're in complete and total control of. And Irvin pitching really well, and they, you know, everything is working methodically. One run in the first, one run in the second, one run in the third. You scored three in the fourth, took total control, and then drop a five-spot. See, a five-spot from the Texas Rangers dropped on you. I mean, and Irvin was like, he threw eight solid innings, and then you look up, and they get, you know, I don't even, I'm going to have to look up the kid's name with the home run. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. It was Jonah Heim, former Oakland A. There you go. Nice job there. This is too late in the season to have a meltdown like that. It's never a good time to have a complete bullpen meltdown. But guess what? When you now have, what, 20 games, less than 20 games left to play, and each game, when you're in a complete log jam, means are you going to play in the playoffs or not? You can't have that. The A's have had, what, five or six games like that in the last month and a half? You can't have that anymore. If you have to start pitching other people out of the bullpen, people would be starting pitchers, do stuff, mix and match. It's time. Don't give me charge. Don't give me rest. You have to do something different. You can't drop games like that anymore. That could be the difference between playing in October or playing golf. The Seattle Mariners lost to the Diamondbacks because Varsho got a great game. Those kind of losses are going to happen. That was a decisive loss. The Mariners dropped the game. That's going to happen. It's not good. You don't want it to happen if you're a Seattle Mariners fan. You got to beat the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a lousy team. But at least it was a decisive loss, unlike what happened with Oakland, which was just a disaster. Now, the Red Sox, the Red Sox put up a seven spot at one point and then saw that evaporate to the Chicago White Sox. And Travis Shaw, who wasn't even supposed to start, but J.D. Martinez was scratched. And it was an absolute miracle that he was not scratched for COVID reasons. Because it seems like everybody, including the frozen head of Ted Williams, has COVID now on the Red Sox. Santana's the latest one to go down. Chris Sale was supposed to start tomorrow. But Shaw came in and got a whole mess of hits. And next thing you know, the Red Sox win the game in extra innings. And so a really unlikely 9-8 victory over the Chicago White Sox means that the Red Sox held on to that number one spot in the wild card chase. Now, the Toronto Blue Jays had, I'll say it, the strangest day of any contender because they were going up against the Baltimore Orioles in a pair of games, pair of seven-inning games in a doubleheader. And the Orioles, give them credit, they played the Yankees tough, and they won that first game against the Toronto Blue Jays. And they took a lead into the seventh inning for the opener. I thought, man, give the Orioles credit. Give the Orioles credit. They are going to win and put the Blue Jays in a situation where best case scenario is they split the series. But then the Blue Jays went on a rally and they scored four runs in the top of the seventh inning. And they wound up winning the first game 11-10. The Blue Jays won a game where they allowed 10 runs. And guess what? That was the normal game. Because someone named Keegan Aiken, who was, I may have mispronounced his name, I've never said his name out loud until just now. You witnessed that, mark the day and time. Threw a, well, was throwing a no-hitter into the seventh. Now, of course, it's a seven-inning game. So a no-hitter in a seven-inning game is never going to be recognized as a no-hitter. Just ask Madison Bumgarner. But it would still be quite an accomplishment to take this Blue Jays team that scored 11 runs in the first game and hold them to no runs and no hits. It was a 1-0 game going to the seventh. They sent them out and said, come on, finish this game up. And all the possibilities were going in my head at that time. if the Orioles hold on to this, and if the Yankees lose that, and if the Mariners win this, there could be a three-way tie for the second wildcard spot. No, if only the A's had won, it could have been a four-way tie. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the Orioles scored 11 runs. Again. They scored 11 runs in the first game, scored 11 runs in the next game. In a game where they were being no-hit into the seventh, and they only played seven innings. So they went in 1-0 was the score going into the seventh inning. And Bo Bichette came up. Oh, they actually allowed a leadoff single. So there goes the no-hitter. Okay. Then Bo Bichette comes up, the son of Dante Bichette, and whose name sounds so much like one of our favorite characters from the Star Wars movies. Bo Bichette comes up and hits a two-run home run. Well, you know, tough luck loss. Just shows you how ridiculous the win-loss stat is. And then another hit, another home run. And a couple more hits, another big hit. And I looked up. I was checking some of the other games. And, of course, every time I wanted to flip to another game, I had to have the MLB app play 2 minutes of commercials. Thanks a lot. And I just flipped back and I saw it was 11-1. They scored 11 runs in one inning. And at one point, I thought, like, okay, Blue Jays, you made your point. And suddenly, and look it, I'm not going to say anything bad about the Orioles because they, okay, when I said something bad about the Marlins, I suddenly got a Marlin fan against me. So I got to be careful what words I choose. The Orioles are flawed. Can we all agree that the Orioles are flawed? I'd like to be able to say that the Orioles are flawed. The fact of the matter is the Orioles tried, but in two games they allowed 22 runs. They took the lead. They were three outs away from winning games one and two. They could have swept the doubleheader from the Toronto Blue Jays. And instead, they lost both games and allowed 22 runs. It's a weird thing that happened. Very strange. And then, of course, there was the 9-11 game in Citi Field. And, of course, the ceremonies were beautiful and poignant and heartfelt. And then came the game. And the Yankees offense woke up. They got up to a 5-0 lead. Then the Mets came storming back. And McCann hits the home run. And they tack on another run. And then the Mets just played stupid. Stupid, making bad plays. Bad plays in the infield and laughing with the Yankees, which, look, at, I'm not going to be the fun police, have fun, but it's just bad optics when your defense coughed up a run in a major game and you're laughing with the other player. I'm not saying you have to grind your teeth and be angry all the time, but show a little more intensity, maybe. And Alonso looked like he was going to have his Mike Piazza moment by hitting that long drive to center field that just came up short. And then the Mets got the tying run to third in the ninth inning and could not get him home. And this was a terrible loss for the Mets because it could have dragged them a tiny bit closer to the National League wild card. Because believe it or not, the National League wild card suddenly became in play. But as it turned out, the American League wild card now has a tie in the second wild card position. Yes, the Yankees defeated the Mets, but they lost a game, a half game in the standing to Toronto because Toronto scored 22 runs total. So as I'm sitting here right now, the Red Sox, by a miracle, have the lead spot in the wild card while the Yankees and the Blue Jays are tied. About a week ago, the Yankees had, what, a four-game lead over the Blue Jays? And in a week, it's gone down to bagel. Zero. Nothing. And that includes a game where the Blue Jays lost and the Yankees won. So here we are. But suddenly, the American League wild card remains a bit of a jumble. It would have been a little bit better if the A's had held on to that lead and the Mariners had defeated the Diamondbacks. It would have still been an absolute scrum, Ta-da! Here comes the rub I was not expecting. Let's say the following events happen, shall we? Let's just say the Dodgers win tomorrow. Well, it's possible they're going to throw Max Scherzer. Any day your team is throwing Max Scherzer, you have a chance to win that game. I'm going to go out on a limb. I like to make daring statements like that. Maybe you can go to Bet Online and bet on that. It's not a Bet Online spot. But let's say that happens. Like Max Scherzer wins a game against Snell. Okay? Let's say that happens. Okay? Let's also say, what else can we say? Let's say that the Cardinals beat the Reds. Okay. Yeah, those are two, you know, close teams. Let's just say that happens. The Cardinals beat the Reds. And let's also say that the Phillies beat the Rockies. All right, let's say those three events happen. And, you know, they all can. And that's not an outrageous combination of events that happen. If those three things happen, then suddenly the National League wild card is going to get a little stranger. Because that would mean that you would have the Padres and the Reds tied for the second wildcard spot, and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals would only be one game out, and the Phillies would only be a game and a half out. Now, if the Mets happen to win, they would be three games out. What I'm saying is all the attention seems to be put on how crazy the American League wildcard is when suddenly that second wildcard spot, the one that will have the honor of probably going to Dodger Stadium and facing Max Scherzer in a one-game playoff. That team could be the Padres, could be the Reds, could be the Cardinals, could be the Phillies. It could be a four-way race for the honor of facing Max Scherzer. You already know what happened because you're living in Monday. I'm living here on Saturday. You have to forgive me on that. But we're going to find out how this weekend unfolded. Let's see how the Sunday games turn out. Hey, it's that time of year again. All eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500 million NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up for free to receive your 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great available offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Okay, most of the Sunday games are done. The Yankees have not played the Mets yet, but there's a couple things we can bring up. First of all, the Mariners and the A's may have just played themselves out of this. Going into this weekend, when they pulled to within one game of the wild card, it looked like we could have an absolutely glorious scrum of wild card teams, but I got to tell you, if you can't beat the Rangers at home and you can't beat the Diamondbacks at home, and both the A's and the Mariners drop the series, the A's drop the series to the Rangers, a one-run loss for them, a couple of frustrating losses for the Mariners against the Diamondbacks. Those are two of the worst teams in baseball. Yes, yes, yes. We had injuries. We had this and that. Ranger fans are going to be mad at me. I don't care. Diamondback fans are going to be mad at me. I don't care. Your team stink this year. Okay? And if you are a team at home struggling to get a postseason spot for the A's to get back to the postseason, for the Mariners to get in the postseason for the first time since 2001, which we all know is 20 years ago, you got to do better than this. There's less than 20 games left to play, and you can't drop two stupid games at home to supposedly bad teams. And good for the Rangers. Good for the Diamondbacks for showing up and showing they're not going to be pushovers, that they're not going to be clobbered. You have to actually beat them. Good for them, but bad for the A's and bad for the Mariners. You got to have a better showing than that. All right, there's a couple of rules that we need to change in baseball. First and foremost, we do need the mercy rule because the Blue Jays beat the Orioles 22-7. 22-7. 6-7. And they hung, it was 6-3 after two. Oh, look at that. It was 6-0 after two, going to the bottom of the second. Then Baltimore scored three runs. And then the Blue Jays hung a 10 spot. A 10 spot. Again, they hung an 11 spot yesterday. And then yeah, at that point, it was 16-3. And you got to say at one point, what are we doing? Well, why are we continuing this game? We know it's over. A team should have the right to be able to wave the white flag. You know, especially as we're now trying to preserve arms and everything like that. The Orioles should have said, it's getaway day. We're done. We're done. Uncle. They should have the right to be able to do that. And not be automatic, but there should be the chance to say, like, hey, can we just call this? And of course, it was a game in Baltimore. So imagine you're sitting there. It's probably one of the last games of the season you're going to go see. And you're like, wow, it's the fourth inning. And it's the third or fourth inning. There's no conceivable way the team's going to win. And we got to slog through six more innings. There's got to be a way to play a mercy rule. Got to be. Well, the other thing that happened was Max Scherzer took a perfect game into the eighth inning. He did let up a hit, and it was a legit hit. I mean, thank goodness it wasn't a no-hitter broken up with, like, a ball lost in the sun or something like that. It was a legit double hit by Eric Hosmer. But it was as dominant a performance as you're going to see by anyone. There have been, eight or nine no-hitters this year, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find a game better pitched than by Max Scherzer, who may just have clinched the National League Cy Young Award with victory over the San Diego Padres. And he became the 19th pitcher to record his 3,000th career strikeout. Dodgers rolled to the victory. Now, with that, the Padres lost again, and they're spiraling. And it got even worse if nearly being no hit and getting clobbered by the Dodgers isn't bad enough. Blake Snell had to leave because of an injury. And Snell, who's had an up and down year, has been pitching pretty well for the Padres recently, thank you very much. And to lose him could torpedo the Padres season. Now, as of this recording, the Padres are indeed tied for the second wildcard spot with the Cincinnati Reds. But guess what? The St. Louis Cardinals are one game back. You know how the Padres and the Reds have been battling it out? There's a chance they could both miss it. Now, the thing that remains unfair and stupid is the fact that the Dodgers are probably going to win 100 games. The Giants, who won again, are a cinch to win 100 games. They are going to be the two best teams in baseball. And there is no scenario that have them playing in the National League Championship Series. That's just nuts and so easy to fix. They can fix it right now, saying that after the wild card game, we recede. And the wild card team can have no home field advantage, but recede. The team with the best record in each league plays the team with the worst record in each league. That's not so hard to figure out. Unless the Reds, Padres, or Cardinals pull off a gigantic upset, we are going to have two 100-win teams, probably the only two 100-win teams in all of baseball, playing each other in the division series. The only thing that makes it mildly palatable is that chances are one of them will be playing the Milwaukee Brewers, who are a legitimate pennant contender. So it's not like they're going to get a schmuck if the Brewers advance as well, but there's just something not right about that. It's so easy to fix. It's harder to not fix it. So the Red Sox lost to the White Sox in a walk-off game, which means with the Blue Jays clobbering the Orioles, that the Red Sox and the Blue Jays are tied. Now, if the Yankees wind up winning their game, there'll be a three-way tie. Somehow the Red Sox are still a wild-card team with less than 20 games to play. But it's looking more and more like the Blue Jays are playing on a completely different level. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Phillies wound up losing the Colorado Rockies. Good for the Rockies for showing up. But because of that, the Phillies, who have dropped 7 of their last 10 games, are now in a situation where they could be losing a spot in the postseason when the wild card is opening up. The Cardinals are taking advantage of that. And they took advantage of that with the series victory over the Cincinnati Reds. Will we have more anarchy in the National League wild card than the American League wild card? We're going to see. But first of all, I'm going to come back when we find out what happened with the Mets game. Well, that was a normal game that the Yankees and Mets played. It just ended. And there was a period I thought maybe it was not going to end. It was striking me as maybe the kind of game that was going to go on for 15 or 16 innings, and I needed to sleep eventually. Well, eventually, it ended. And yes, I added that whistle intentionally. Let me try to unwrap what we just saw with that Met-Yankee game. First of all, I guess whistling is the new trash can banging. There's a lot of people accusing the Yankees. It was Lindor was accusing the Yankees of doing some sort of whistle system for stealing signs. At this point, I'm all for stealing anything. It's just fun. It's silly. It's goofy. And it provided a little bit of a spark. Now, let me just offer one bit of suggestion to the New York Yankees, especially over the last few years. They need to realize that they're not good at the whole trash talking thing. Let me explain what I mean. There have been a bunch of times where the Yankees have tried to trash talk, be chippy, kind of show up the other team, and a lot of times it blows up in their face. Like Aaron Judge playing New York after they won game two of the division series against the Red Sox in 2018, only to have the Red Sox humiliate the Yankees in game three and finish the series in game four. Then there was the whole trashing Jose Altuve with the whole buzzer thing and, you know, taking off the shirt and doing all that stuff. And then Altuve turns around and hits the walk-off three-run home run just before the All-Star break. Well, today, Giancarlo Stanton, who's not very good at trash talking, tried to get all chippy with Francisco Lindor after he hit the game win, after Stanton hit the game-tying home run. And then, of course, what did Lindor do? Lindor became the first player ever in the Mets-Yankee Subway Series to hit three home runs in one game. There have been a lot of sluggers on both sides. It wasn't Piazza. It wasn't Wright. It wasn't Pete Alonso. It wasn't Bernie Williams. It wasn't Tino Martinez. It wasn't Alex Rodriguez. It wasn't Jason Giambi. It wasn't Hideki Matsui. Think of all the names that it could have been since interleague play began in 1997. But nope. Turns out it was Lindor. And Lindor has had, let's be kind, and call it a really, really rough first year in New York. And one way to win over Met fans is to hit three home runs, including two go-ahead home runs and one home run in the eighth inning to put them ahead for good. And with that, the Yankees have fallen out of being one of the two wildcard teams. Therefore, all the goodness of the 13-game winning streak is now officially gone. And with, I think it's either 18 or 19 games left, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are the two American League wildcard teams. In other words, the Red Sox will get clobbered by the Toronto Blue Jays in the wildcard game as it stands right now with a little under 20 games left to play. Now, the incredible thing is the Mets have even 500 at this point, broken even 500. After 144 games, they are 72-72. And keep in mind, they are now only three games out of a playoff spot. Break even, 500, 18 games left to play, and they are three back. The Padres, one of the two teams with a second wildcard spot, are heading off depleted, shattered, limping to San Francisco, where they'll be playing a motivated Giants team who want to clinch early and want to clinch that division and pull the rug out from the Dodgers. Padres are in trouble. And the Mets are going to be playing the Cardinals, one of the other teams that are ahead of them. So while it is not likely, it's also not outrageous to think that the Mets could go into the final couple of weeks of the season only a game or two out of the playoffs. This season is really weird. This weekend was really weird, and that's the fun part. This is when baseball is basically an all-you-can-eat dessert buffet. because all of these stories going on simultaneously, all these games going on, we've now reached a point where the game's importance have skyrocketed. And now we've finished the weekend and I finished this podcast, which I've been doing all weekend long. So go to the free and easy to use Odyssey app. Follow us on YouTube. For those of you watching me on YouTube, you can follow us on Twitter, Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Breaking down the games of the weekend as we look to the final 18, 19, 20 games of the year. And some teams still have images of an October dancing in their head. And a few teams have become really, really close to clinching, and some are going to be kicking themselves because they got super close and are starting to fall away. This has been Locked On MLB for the 13th day of September. We're in mid-September, everyone, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully, and let me also tell you that betting on baseball does not have to be a guessing game. You can subscribe to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Let's have a good week, everyone.